Good morning. This is Pastor Landis Fisher, Straight Gate Ministries and St. Timothy Missionary Baptist Church. We welcome you to our broadcast today. We pray that you are having a blessed Lord's Day so far. God bless you. We're about to dig into a subject that I think is crucial and critical for your understanding and mine. So we just thank God for another day's journey. So happy that you are here with us. And it is a blessing once again to be in the presence of the Lord, as we know we abide in His presence at all times. Amen. So we just want to say thanks to the Lord right now. Amen, for all that He has done. So I'm going to invite you to pray with me. Hopefully you have gotten our notes from the website at teachingbible.org. And they should be listed there. We're looking at a message today from actually the book of Acts, chapter 17. But we're going to take a look at some other portions of God's Word. And I'm going to talk with you about Jesus, the perfect King. And we'll talk about that a little more after we have a word of prayer. So I thank God for you right now. And I'd like to invite you to pray with me. Remember, we've been talking about focusing on our prayer with doing, including other people, folks who we're not comfortable with, things of that sort, people who are outside of our sphere of understanding, and people who may not like us or hate us. We were talking about that when we were talking about our message earlier in the week, being understanding, and I want to include that and continue to build on the thoughts that we had there. In case you missed it, it's still online, or you can catch it on teachingbible.org. So we're going to go ahead. I want you to try to practice, which is what Jesus taught His disciples, to pray for those who despitefully misuse you. And this is a very great portion of our prayer life. In addition to praying for those who we love and care about, praying for the salvation of those who are lost, praying for victims of all the disaster and different things that are brought onto the world by destruction through storms, whatever it happens to be, disease, evil people, all those things, folks who have not come to know Christ in the pardon of their sin. Pray about all that. Don't let it frustrate you or take away your peace. God wants you and I to live in peace. And we can attain that more greatly when we learn to pray. And Paul says, pray without ceasing. So be in a prayerful mindset all the time, and it'll make it more difficult for us to fly off the handle. And it's not easy for me. I'm preaching to myself, because I have to do the same thing, because I come under attack in so many ways. But at this time, let us go before the Most High and pray. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we bless Your name today, Father. We exalt You, Father, for Your name is excellent, and You are worthy to be praised. Father, we just bless You, and we give praise to Your name. We thank You for Your glorious works. We thank You for everything that You have done, Lord God, and all that You're doing right now at this time. Father, we praise You for the activity of our limbs. And Father, we even pray for our enemies and those who hate us. And Father, we know many times when they hate us, they hate You. They may not even know. They're so blind, Lord God, in their lack of spiritual understanding many times. That's why they are haters and not lovers like You have called us to be. And so, Father, we pray that You take the spirit of hate out of our lives, Lord God, even though You have saved us, transformed us by the blood of Your Son, we still have a tendency to go there. And so, Father, we ask You to change us, oh God, in our mind, in the spirit of our mind, that we may be able to do those things that You have required for Your disciples. We pray for Your whole church, wherever she is, Lord God, all over this planet. Father, we pray for every member, every person that is connecting to us now. Father, we know we have a lot of new viewers that are connecting. And Father, we pray for every household, every family. Father, we even pray You draw some people here, Father, who otherwise would not come to hear Your word. And so, Father, we just thank You for this platform that we might speak the gospel. And Father, we pray that those who hear might be given faith by Your Spirit, that they might believe. Father, we thank You for the provisions that You've given us going through this time season here, Lord God, when all things seem to be out of order, so many things, Lord God. And we know that You have brought us through, but You have prepared us for such a time as this. So we speak power and blessing to Your people, that they might receive of Your Spirit and be comforted, Lord God, right now. Father, we speak to those who are mourning. And Father, we pray for those who have suffered destruction at the hands of storms or at the hands of enemies or wherever the storms or problems in their life have come from. Father, we lay them on Your altar right now. You said that if we bring everything to the altar, that we should worry about nothing and pray without ceasing. And so, Father, we pray for everything, Father, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And, Father, we thank you that you are there, that you are a shelter in a time of storm. And that, Father, even if the storm blows us to pieces, Lord God, if we're still here, we have to give you praise. And, Father, we just thank you today, Father. Bless everybody under the sound of my voice. Help us to get a spiritual mindset and see that your Son, Jesus, is the perfect King. Help us to meditate in that idea, Father, as we look at the political climate that's going on everywhere on this earth, and especially here in America, Father. We pray for understanding. We pray for motivation, Lord God. We want to pray that everything would be done to the praise of your glory. Ask a special blessing right now, Father, for the people who have been going through all these things, and many of these are your people. And we ask that the ones who are not, Father, would understand the good news, how much you love them right now, and that they would give their lives to Jesus, the perfect King, in order that he might transform them right now. And let them know that you have loved us with an everlasting love. And, Father, underneath you said are the everlasting arms. And, Father, we lean up on those arms right now, Father. We ask you to be a rock for our feet, Lord God, and just bless us today, Father. We thank you for every blessing you've already given, Lord. If you didn't give any more, we want to just say thank you right now. Hallelujah for everything you have already done. We give you the praise and the glory. And it's in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. We hope you laid your problems down on the altar during that prayer. Amen. And just leave them there. That's the hard part. I can usually lay mine down, but I have a problem because I like to go pick them up again sometime. So maybe you're like me. I don't know. But if you are, it's a good thing God is gracious and merciful. Amen. And he'll keep bringing us around again and again to give us that opportunity to do what we ought to do. So today, without any further delay, if you have our notes, we're going to be looking in a few passages in the Word. But let me just say this in opening. I want to say that, beloved, you cannot afford to miss this one. This is one you cannot miss. This is a critical subject, and I want to just help explain some things so that we can get our minds set up right for the season that we're in. This is a very, very difficult season. And having a biblically correct knowledge of who Jesus is cannot be misunderstood or underestimated. We need to really understand who Jesus is, because there's an increasing atmosphere because of the biblical ignorance of our country and of the world in general that people misunderstand and miss who Jesus is. Okay, a lot of people have an opinion about Jesus, but it's not based on his word. And this is where we want you to be. Is what does God say about Jesus, and how should you and I perceive him? And I just put it in a nutshell, kind of, and just grab it and pull it together, that Jesus is the perfect King. He is the King of kings, the Bible says, and the Lord of lords. So there is no authority higher than his, and the earth is heading in the direction of being under his control and his dominion. Now, you know what? Right now, it's technically still under his control. Even though we don't see him enthroned in the holy mountain of God as of yet, physically, he is enthroned in the holy mountain of God spiritually. And you and I have to learn to understand that. So that no matter who we're dealing with here on earth, in any power, any political situation, any position of authority, that you and I know who's really in charge. That's the big benefit of being a child of God, is that you really know who's in charge. In spite of what's going on in your life, in spite of who's in the Kremlin, or who's in any of the other political centers of the earth, even including D.C. and here in America or wherever they are, we know who's in control. And so you and I, that's why the Bible says we have to walk by faith and not by sight. And so we can't really afford to get hung up in a temporal politics. That's probably the best way I can say it, because so many things in temporal politics will give way to, in fact, everything in temporal politics will give way to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You and I are already citizens of heaven, and so we should understand that being a citizen of heaven, there are benefits for you, but there will also be circumstances and conditions that are negative that will impact your life and the way you live. So what we got to do, in essence, is learn to balance that And the best way we can do that is keep our eyes, like the writer to the Hebrews says, fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Now think about that. You know, we haven't been through anything like the cross ourselves personally, but Jesus endured the cross, the writer says, despising the shame. See, think about how scandalous the cross was. What a scandalous thing. God the Son, Almighty God the Son, comes out of eternity into the flesh to bless the world with forgiveness, to bless the world with righteousness that they do not have, nobody has, personal righteousness that is acceptable to Almighty God. So the Son came into the world out of eternity from being face to face with the Father in order to bear the guilt, the shame, the stain, the ugliness of all of the sins of all men. And he heaped that all upon himself while he himself walked perfectly innocently throughout his life from, as I like to say this, y'all know this is one of my favorite phrases, from the womb to the tomb. And when we say that, from the womb to the tomb, we know that there was a pre-existent Christ who was already in spirit face to face with the Father, who always existed in eternity. This is where the critics of Christianity, such as we call it, go wrong, is that they do not understand the pre-incarnate eternal existence of God the Son, who was face to face with God the Father and the Holy Spirit. And so we embrace that doctrine, and we call it the doctrine of the Trinity. And we say, oh, some people say, oh, the word Trinity is not in the Bible. I say it's not, but all three, the God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are all well represented and displayed in the pages of Scripture. So you and I cling to that, and if you don't, let me help you understand it. It's really an idea that's way off the charts, and there isn't anything really humanly in our minds that we can say to help you really get it, other than that God teaches it in his word. And the word says, God says, will not come back to me void, but it will accomplish the purpose whereunto I sent it. It says that we are to not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. It says that everything we need is in the book, because Jesus said, go and teach all things whatsoever I have commanded you. See that? So he's given us a summary of complete things that we need in the scripture so that we can know that by comfort of the scriptures, we may have hope in every situation. And so the fact is, that's where discipleship comes in. And it's a critical, important thing in the life of a believer. God wants you to be a disciple. He wants me to continue to be a disciple. All of you who already believe, you know the importance of discipleship. So I'm kind of preaching to you as well to encourage you, to let you know. But I'm talking to people who do not understand who Jesus is in the biblical sense, and there are more and more, this trend is on the rise in our culture today. There's more people today who think, man, Jesus was a good teacher, he was a good man, a religious leader. They have a lot of different things they think, but it's not based on the scripture. See, and so you and I need to talk about who does God say Jesus is? And this is what we have to understand. The more we understand it, the more peace we will have. The more grace we can receive, because there won't be obstacles in the flesh, in the world, and in the devil, or either them. Let's not say that they won't exist, but let's just say when they come, we'll have a biblical framework to understand what we're going through. Just like I have dubbed this year, and I can't say that I really think it's as bad as what Job went through. Many of you may have read Job, and he went through a tremendous life of a period in his life, I should say, when things were like way bad, kind of like 2020 has been for us, except he has seemed to be much worse. But this year never has stopped. There's been something all through the year, and here we are now moving into the last portion of the year. This will be moving into the last quarter, and there's still stuff still coming, wave furious kind of things, storms, diseases, political upheaval, all kinds of stuff. See? Sicknesses folks don't know about, folks trying to speed through stuff that normally takes years in order to deal with problems like we've never had. So it's a similar kind of thing. Job was getting stuff one after another, constantly getting worse and worse and worse, and to a point that his wife broke down and said, why don't you just curse God and die, when he himself was afflicted with a sickness, you know? And he said, you foolish woman, shall we receive blessing from the Lord and not adversity also? See, so Job was grounded in understanding the pressures of this life and this world. And he said, well, his response to that was, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So this is where I want you and I to get, so that when troubles are coming in on every side, we understand that God is still seated and enthroned in power, and he has given us a word, his word, so that we can study the word and be anchored in the truth. That's why the scripture says that Jesus is an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. He can hold us in the midst of a terrible storm or going through tragic situations or awful diseases or afflictions on our own body and our own health. And these things certainly will come. So we have to learn how to do like that writer to the Hebrews said, fix your eyes on Jesus. See, Jesus came into the world out of eternity, and he had pre-planned it, had written it in the word, given exactly blow by blow everything that he would complete. And his process was for the purpose of glorifying the Father ultimately, but also to get rid of the problem of sin in the world for everyone who believes. And this is his desire, that you and I would be saved, that we would receive salvation. Jesus is the only Savior of the world. He is God. He is perfectly divine, and he is also at the same time perfectly human. He's the only individual of that sort who has ever lived, and we need to understand that. He had a purpose when he came and became flesh. It was not that he just began to exist at the moment when the Holy Spirit conceived him in the womb of the Virgin Mary. He had already predicted and prophesied and planned a genetic sequence all the way through the Jews from Abraham clear on up to Mary, who would bear him into the world and give flesh to him and humanity, along with God the Holy Spirit. And theologians call that, it's a very thick idea, they call it the hypostatic union, when spirit and flesh bonded together once and for all. And God was on a mission, and it was a mission of salvation for me and you. It was a mission of repair, to fix everything that had been damaged by sin before his coming and from the time of his coming until today, which is 2020 years after his birth. And so you and I need to get our minds wrapped around that the best we can. I know it's a big, difficult thing to understand, and people have written volumes of books on the subject, but I want to give you a simplistic understanding today of why Jesus is the perfect king. Now think about this all together. When God created the heavens and the earth, and he made everything in those first 6 days, the final thing he said on the sixth day as far as creation is concerned, is let us make man in our work. Notice that in the plural, Genesis 1:26. Let us make man in our image and after our likeness. He's speaking Father, Son, Holy Spirit right there, the plurality of the Godhead. Genesis 1:26. And he says, and let them have dominion over all the creation. So God has kept his promise. Man has had dominion over the earth all the way from the creation of all things, and when God set him in the garden, gave him authority and power over it, all the way on up till now. But you know what man does? He does not appreciate. Adam started off with sin and got the seed of sin sown into the world through the devil when he was not deceived. The Bible says Adam just willfully transgressed God, but Eve was deceived, it explains in the Bible. And the devil tricked the woman and came in through the woman in order to cause Adam, for whatever reason, to transgress God willfully. And the willful transgression of God is sin. And so we all are cursed with sin and have been ever since. The seed of Adam, which is the first father of all human beings. Now, we got a lot of poppycock going on about that. And I don't have time to get on that soapbox today. But people have tried to defy what makes sense, and it's the only sensible thing that there really is, in all honesty. You know, if we just be real about this, because we don't see stuff changing in different stuff. We keep looking more and more, trying to make God a liar, but it will never happen. I want you to know. God has spoken the truth. It was the truth when he spoke it, and he hasn't added any more to his word since 90 AD. And it will continue to be the truth, the Bible says, when heaven and earth have passed away. See, so the people who are the critics of God and the critics of the church, the people who actually teach the truth, they say, oh, well, there's room for, and they start to compromise when God has said, stick to the book. Stay in my word. If you continue in my word, Jesus says in John 8:31-2, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. See, so this is what we need to do, is take what God said, whatever else, set it aside. Set it at naught, and that'll be the best thing you ever did. So in this process, we all became sinners, to say the least. Every single human being born is a sinner. All sinners in the sight of a holy God are just as bad as all the rest. There's no one any better than anyone else. That's why the word says there's none righteous. There's not even one. There's none that doeth good. There's none that seeketh after God. They have all gone out the way. Isaiah says, all we like sheep are gone astray. Everyone has turned aside to his own way. Then he says, but the Lord had laid the iniquity of us all upon him, speaking of Jesus in Isaiah 53. See, so all of us have iniquity, which is inborn sin and transgression against Almighty God. But God has taken it. He didn't want to punish us. You know why? Let me just give a brief explanation. And many of you have heard this explanation before. God loved Adam. When he did what he did for Adam, it was the greatest expression of love that had been done up to that time. To create him, put him into a world that he had made. Look how beautiful the world is, even with all the destruction that sinners and sin have done to it, and the devil and his hosts. Think about that. The world is still beautiful, even though all that destruction, and the which is all caused by sin, the seed of sin has brought great destruction to God's creation. Now people want to tell us it's climate problem is the problem, is it? But they don't understand. No, man, is sin is the problem, and the sin has caused all the trouble and all the difficult things in the world, and we can't excuse it away. We like to take science and push God out of the way with science. It won't work. You know why? Because God is all science. He invented science. He created science. He knows everything, and he's given us a clear word on exactly how things are. And you know what? If they think climate is doing something to the world, wait till they see what Almighty God does. Wait till you go in that casket without Jesus, baby. If you think you got trouble now, wait till you reject God's Son and his word. Because the Bible says in Mark 13:31, the heavens and the earth shall pass away. They are scheduled for destruction. And God says, behold, I'm going to create a new heaven and a new earth wherein righteousness dwells forever and ever. Satan will be bound and cast into the pit forever and ever, along with the beast and the false prophet. And then the true king, the perfect king, Jesus, his son, who has already paid the bill for all of that sin, will rise, and he will be seated in the majesty of the throne of God, see, forever and ever. So he had to be a perfect individual in order to occupy that position. It's the highest position that there ever is. This is why it says that he is the king of kings. See, man has made a lot of kings throughout the years. They have all been failures, every one of them. None of them have ever been able to reign perfectly, see, without any sin or corruption. And so every king, from the beginning on through up to whoever the last one will be, are all going to subdue themselves to the true king, the perfect king, Jesus the Christ. And God has, it's amazing to me, this is one thing that amazes me about God. There's so many things, and the more you think about who God is and what he reveals in his word, the more amazing he becomes. He becomes greater in amazement the more you just meditate on what he has done. See? Because he is so majestic, you and I have such a pusillanimous mind, we cannot really encompass the greatness and the magnitude of Almighty God. But he has given us great glimpses of him in his word, and the more we study it, the deeper our understanding becomes about who he is. The great thing to me, one great thing, I'd say I don't ever run out of great things to think about God. And that's what worship really is to understand him, who he is, how much he loves you. And this is what I want you to know. In spite of the fact that we are wretched to the core, all of us, even though we're getting better, some of us are studying the word and we're getting in there and God is teaching us some stuff we never knew. So we know how to handle some problems we never could. And we get a better mindset about everything going on in life because we meditate in his law day and night. And like Psalms number 1 says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. These are people who reject God's counsel. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law, that means his word, doth he meditate day and night. See, so that meditation on God's word is filling our spirits with knowledge, with wisdom, with endurance, with perseverance, things that we don't just naturally have, even when there's trouble all around. It says when you do that, you'll be like a tree. See, a tree is very stable. You know, planted beside the rivers of water, that makes it even more stable because I'm a well-watered tree. and who brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. But people who reject the counsel of God, Psalm 1 says, but the ungodly are not so. They are like the chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, neither sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. In other words, he has prepared a way for those who trust him and receive righteousness from him as a free gift, which is the only way we can get it, because we're completely void of any total integrity within ourselves. That's why God gave Jesus, the perfect king, to cover those who trust him and believe in him, so that no matter what happens, you can be sure that you are saved and you are blessed. You're among the chosen and the selected of God. See, that's why salvation is important. And God's king will still reign when all this stuff is done. You have to realize God's king, Jesus, will reign. And he will reign with all authority and all power. Hallelujah to his name. Amen. And you can see it when you look in the scripture. You can see it when you look at the history of the world. You know what? We don't have anybody in the world. When you see people getting off track, these people in the world, they're trying to grab power for themselves, things like that. Political people, all that type of thing. This is why I say don't put your trust in politics. Trust in the politics of the Most High, perfect king, all the time. Now, you know what? God gave government, and government is an important thing because God gave it. But let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. You have to know I'm telling you the truth. All governments are corrupted to the core. It doesn't make any difference what political persuasion it is, corrupted to the core. You know what? We try to say political correctness here in our country. You know what? But I'm trying to get the saints to understand biblical correctness. Biblical correctness does not mean we rebel against political situations in our life. That certainly is not what it means. But it does mean that we understand who the real king is. We see ourselves as ambassadors for Christ. You see, in other words, just like an ambassador represents another country while he's in another country, a foreign country, you and I are ambassadors for Christ who believe. In other words, we understand the truth. We know that Jesus is going to rule and reign and that he is the perfect king, but we're not going to rebel against government because human government is a design by God, even though it is flawed and imperfect, just like everything else is, because of the influx of sin. So what we have to do is learn to identify by, as we do that, the Bible tells us, pray for the government. Pray for those who are in authority over us. Pray for those who despitefully misuse us. This is why I've been preparing you guys for this all in the last few lessons. Get your mind set on the perfect king who is Jesus. His instruction to me and you is pray for those who are in authority. Now, I'm not telling you don't vote and don't be involved in the political process. Do that. Let God's word convict you who you think you should vote for. And I'm not going to tell you one way or the other. The Holy Spirit has to tell you. I'm not the one who instructs you in that. But I am instructing you in allegiance to Jesus, the perfect king. He is the only king, has no flaws, will never fail you. He has never let you down. He has your best interest in mind. He loves you every second, even before you were born. The scripture says he knit you together in your mother's womb. He was there planning you to be the man or woman you are right now. You see, he determined exactly who you would be, and he gave you all the faculties and talents and everything you have, and he still loves us even though we sin. And he went to pay the sin bill. You know what? He's not letting us off the hook without a tremendous price being paid. This is what you got to understand. When Jesus, the perfect king, think about that, just the idea that he is the perfect king, went to the cross. He went from Mary's womb where he was perfect and spotless without sin, but because of the intervention of the Holy Spirit overshadowing a virgin who knew not a man, and produced a perfect human son. The woman does not contribute to the bloodstream of a child. Check that out, why don't you? If you doubt what I'm saying, check it out. Get you a science book. Look it up. You'll find out the woman does not contribute to the bloodstream of the child. Jesus was born perfectly without sin, in the same manner that you and I, who are human, were born. So he took on humanity. He was divinity from eternity, from everlasting to everlasting. He is God. And yet he took on flesh because he predicted that he would do this. He wrote it in the book, in the law, and the prophets, and the Psalms, exactly the manner in which he would come into the world in order to do this work. That he, the king, think about it, the highest person in the world, the one who owns in the universe, not just the world. He owns the earth and everything in it. That's what it says in Psalms 24. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof of the world and they who dwell in it. He owns it all, but yet he wanted to redeem us. And so he prepared a way in eternity to become flesh without becoming sinful, without taking on our sin. And then he lived his life in a humble manner in order that he might satisfy everything and every precept that God had prescribed in his word from Genesis to Malachi. See, that was the whole Bible at the time when Jesus was on the earth. Genesis to Malachi, as we would call it in our Bible today. The Old Testament, we would say. And he fulfilled it. He didn't set it aside or abolish it. He fulfilled it. See, came in, satisfied the Father by his human behavior on earth. Yet he was the eternal God in flesh. So we need to understand both things. These have always been the things that the devil has attacked throughout the years and the world and the flesh. The divinity of Jesus Christ is just as important as the humanity of Jesus Christ. He is both. He is the only one having both natures and fully God and fully man at the same time. And so this is why Jesus is the perfect king. He got to be that way because he shows his great love for you and me who are wretched sinners that deserve damnation in hell. Every one of us, not just the ones I'm talking to, everybody. On the planet, everyone has ever been born from Adam clear up to this second. There are little babies being born right now as I speak. And they are full of sin when they come in the world. That's how we come here. And that's the truth. We are born in sin and shaped in iniquity, it says there in Psalms 51. And so everybody needs a Savior. God knew it, and he sent his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to make a sacrifice for the sins of everyone whosoever believes in him. That's the good news we call the gospel. It's because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That term only begotten means he's the only one born of a woman that God has, the only Son. Think about that. Adam was created from the dust of the ground. Jesus was born of a woman. He went through the entire birth process. I got some more to tell you about on the Bible study about that. Can you pack it in this morning? But the fact is, God loves you just like you are, and he has made a way to cover us for our sin. That's why he is the perfect king. Now, let me just give you one example. I'm going to give you one. I've been talking about the overall subject, but we need to realize that we're living in perilous times in 2020. He has delivered, and 2020 has delivered extraordinary afflictions that have been the cause of many global concerns. God is starting to get the whole attention of all the people on the earth. Have you noticed? Shut some stuff down, ceased a bunch of stuff, destroyed some stuff. He has allowed for this, and he opened up some new stuff, and there's new things that are happening right now that are going to make the world better in so many ways. Getting saved is the best thing you and I can do right now about any situation that we have to deal with. And these times make us think about these things, about the brevity of life, how important things are, and just to be alive and to be able to do things. You know what? Our whole normal routine this year got sliced up into little pieces and thrown back to us, so to speak. But yet God has never changed, and he loves you just like you are. He knows what you're going through. God allows these things to get our attention so that he can direct your attention toward the perfect king, Jesus, his son. And he wants you to know that I can comfort you even through every storm and every trial, every affliction, no matter what you're going through. So trust him. This is all he really wants us to do is trust him, believe in him. That's why John 3:16 kind of encapsulates everything I've said, because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Think about how precious every little baby you may have ever had was to you, especially when they're newborn. Not that they're not precious all the time, but can you imagine that? How mothers, you know what I'm talking about. Little baby in your arm, oh, that's just such a great thing. But think about it from God's perspective. He so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. That whosoever, that means anybody who can hear my voice. Today, if you can hear my voice, do not harden your heart. Understand God loves you just like you are. He gave Jesus for you. He lived a perfect life for you. He never sinned in his life at all for you. He went through everything, took the punishment, the ridicule, the insults, all of that, even from his own people, just like it had been written in the Word all the way through, and they rejected him. And I'm going to have to talk about this in the Bible study because the time is just getting away. But I want you to see he did all that for you. So don't reject it. Whatever you do, let that not be the case that you would reject God, his son, who he has given for you. God did it, prepared it from eternity past because he already knew. The devil didn't surprise God when he brought sin into the world. He did not. You know, and you might be tripped off a little on that. Well, why would he let that happen? People ask, I'm not able to tell you fully. The scripture gives you the best answer on the whole thing. But I want you to know he loves you. And that's why Jesus did what he did. He came in meek and lowly and humble in order to pay our sin bill entirely. And God did that so that he could erase the debt of our sin entirely. That's what he did for me. And that's what he did for you. And if you just believe it, you shall be saved. How do we know it's right? How do we know it's true? Well, think about this. After Jesus hung on that cross and died and shed his perfect blood, we talked about that a couple of lessons back, they laid him in the tomb, and all of this is recorded in the Word. Every little thing, the bleeding, the piercing of the hands and feet, the spear through his side, all that's all in the Word, and everything happened exactly in the manner God said it would. And he died on the cross, having no sin of his own. You know, the scripture says the wages for sin is death. Jesus took a death that he didn't even deserve. Why? Because he had not sinned. He received wages for my sin and for yours, if you believe in him. See? He took the wages for my sin and yours, every believer, and he paid the penalty so that Almighty God, his Father, who loved him and also loves you, could settle our debt for sin once and for all. And then when they laid him in the grave, as it is written in the scripture, after 3 days and nights, he rose with all power in his hand. Now, let me tell you something. No vaccines, no medical treatment, none of that. It's just that death did not hold the righteous one, Jesus the Christ, the perfect king. Couldn't hold him. You know why? Because death can only grab onto your sin. When you sin, death says, come here, I got you. Because the wages for sin is death. But if you died and you didn't sin, death has no ability to keep you or hold you. See? And so when Jesus got out of the grave, that's what proves that he is the Christ, the Messiah, the perfect king. He died for your sins and for mine. Whoever believes in him. And he got out of the grave. That's how we know what he did is effective. And you know what? That's some pretty amazing science. If you really want to talk about it, it's the most amazing science I ever heard of. And the early church went forth preaching the perfect king, Jesus the Christ, in the midst of a culture that was way worse politically than this one is that we live in. See, but I want you to know there's some identifying factors about this. The whole story of it is found right here in the book of the Psalms, number 2. And we heard Psalms 1 just a minute ago. Psalms 2 says, why do the heathen rage as people who don't believe in God? And the people imagine a vain thing. You know what? Everything man does will amount to zero. If you do not have Christ, you know what you have? You have zero. A goose egg, baby. A zero. You can stack it up to the heights of heaven. You know, houses and land, properties and all of that. If you don't have Christ, you have zero. Jesus in Matthew 16:26 said, what would it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lost his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? He said, you cannot serve God and money, or mammon, as it says in the God of money. The God of money is going to start a lot of people, and they're going to be heading for burning hell because they won't let go, and they hold on to things and not Jesus, the perfect king. He came to give his life as a ransom for all your sin. He's the only way of salvation. And you know what? This is how you can tell. We got a lot of people in the world today, and I have to get on. Let me finish the psalm here. I'm going to go back to Psalm 2. Psalm 2 and 2. The kings of the earth, now notice who's the subject here, other rulers, other authorities. The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, that's Christ, saying, let us break their bands asunder. We don't want religious stuff holding us back. Not that it's so religious. Jesus is not saying be religious. He's saying be saved. Trust me and believe in me, and you shall be saved. That's a very simple promise. You know what, if you never read the scripture at all in your life, if you believe that Jesus came and he was sinless, he was crucified for you, he shed his blood for you, which God requires, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. He died for you. The wages for sin is death. He took the penalty for your sin and mine. If you believe him, the scripture says, then he rose out of the grave. It says, you shall not perish. but you shall have eternal life. In other words, that's a proper relationship with God. Eternal life is not about how much time it is. Eternal life is about you knowing God and understanding that he loves you. John 17:3 says, this is life eternal, that they will know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. So if you can't say you know God if you don't know Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. A lot of people are saying, oh, we know God, we worship God, but you know what? They don't believe that Jesus is equal with God. And if you don't believe Jesus is equal with God, which is clearly taught in the scripture, you are not saved. You don't know God at all. You can say you do, and you know what? That's a measurement that John gave. He said, try the spirits to see if they be from God. You know, whoever confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, in 1 John, he says, is of God. The ones who deny the coming of the Son do not have the Father nor the Son. So if you reject Christ, or if you're ashamed, like Jesus said, if you're ashamed on me before men, I will also be ashamed on you before my Father. A lot of people talk about God, but you never hear him talk about Jesus, the Christ. He is the focal point of salvation, and you might as well spit right in God's face if you do not confess Christ as Lord, because he is the only one that God sent, the only representative, the perfect king. He took on all the sin of everyone who believes in him, and you have no reason not to mention him. You know what? God doesn't hear you. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. See, so if you want to skip him or leave him out, he will skip you and leave you out. That's the way it works. Believe me, that's what the scripture teaches. And so the fact is, you need him. God says you need him, and you cannot approach God without him. So you hear people talking about God all the time. I was listening to all the political mess that went on. Everybody wants to talk about God. None of you mention Jesus at all. None of you. None of them. I don't care who. Dems, Republicans, whoever. None of you. You know what that means? You don't even know God. No matter what you say, no matter what you think, if you don't have Christ, you do not have God. Understand that. That's what the Bible teaches. You and I got to get there. Jesus is the perfect king. That's what I believe with my whole heart. But I'm not going to be defiant, because God told me, submit myself to the government because for the Lord's sake, because they are a minister of God to me for good. So they're keeping the evil that man would otherwise do slowed down, and that's about it. And they only slow it down, as you can see, as evident. When we see folks murdering each other and police killing people and all that stuff, people killing other people, people shooting babies and grandmas, indiscriminately death has taken its toll because people don't respect God and they don't have the love of Jesus in their hearts. That's the big problem. That's why I said there will be no political solution. I'm going to say it again. I've been saying it a lot because I want to drive the point home. There is no political solution for the problem of systemic racism, for Black Lives Matter, any of that. Folk need to get saved. If you're not saved, then you're not going to matter, and you don't matter to yourself because you reject Jesus, the perfect king. He is the only way you can be saved. When you get saved, you'll see people differently than you've been seeing them. See, it'll make you different so that you can handle the stuff that's going on. Let's finish Psalm 2 here. It says here, let us break their bands asunder. That's what governments and people want to do. And forget about Christ. Cut away their cords from us. They're binding us. They're holding us down. Psalms 2 and 4. He that sitteth in the heavens will laugh. That's God Almighty. And the Lord shall have them in derision. You think you're confusing to him. He said, no, I'm confusing to you. I'll spin up your world and make you see who's in charge. Don't tell me God won't do it. I think he's doing it right now. I think folks who think they're all high and mighty are shaking in their boots because they don't know what the next thing is going to happen. See, and this is something why I say you and I can be steadfast and unmovable and always abounding in the work of the Lord if we're anchored in the truth. You got to be in the truth. Know you're in the ark of safety, that Jesus is the only way of salvation. God has given him for you because he loves you. You know what? Even if you believe him, he has given you the faith to believe him. See, that's how precise this thing is. He will allow you to reject him, but it'll be the worst mistake you ever made. But he will also give you faith if you just simply open your heart. Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man opens unto me, I will come in and sup with him. And he's going to come in and dine with you, is what that means in Revelation. So if he's not in your life, it's because you shut the door. It's not that he's not knocking. I'm telling you right now, he wants to be in your life. And if he is in your life, you're going to change your perspective about the whole world. Looking on in Psalm 2. It says he's going to laugh and he shall have them in derision. Then he will speak to them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. That's what you get when you reject the gift of God, his son, his holy, spotless, sinless son, Jesus, the perfect king. Yet what have I set my king? Here it is, Psalms 2:6. Get this, please. Yet have I set my king upon the holy hill of Zion, my holy hill. God says Jesus will reign. My king is already set. His coronation is planned, and whoever believes in him will not perish. So you got to get this, or you can be like the heathen who rage and imagine a vain thing and want to break loose from everything God said. That's what Psalm 2 is about. He says, I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, speaking of the Son, thou art my Son, Jesus. This day have I begotten thee, the only begotten Son of God, Psalms 2:7. Ask of me, and I will give thee the heathen. In other words, he owns the world and all the people in it, for thine inheritance and the uttermost part of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. You think it's bad now, wait until the Son of God begins to break up the earth with a rod of iron. You think environmental catastrophe is awful, wait till the Son of God begins to break them with a rod of iron. You want to wait too long and get the judgment of God and not receive the grace of God, keep on fooling around and stay out of Jesus. But you need to get in Jesus right now. I beg you and command you to trust Christ right now, see, so that you can be saved and have the peace of God that passeth all understanding. He goes on to say, and I will declare the decree, the Lord has said unto me. That's verse 7, very important. Ask of me, and I'll give you the heathen for thy inheritance and the uttermost part of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. I'm speaking to all the kings everywhere on earth. And then he says, be wise, therefore, O ye kings. God's saying, this is a wake-up call. And ye judges of the earth, serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, speaking of the Christ, the Messiah, lest he be angry and ye perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. But blessed are all they who put their trust in him. See, he has given the decree that the perfect king, Jesus, his son, is going to be enthroned in glory. You know, when he's enthroned now, he already defeated the grave and death, and every problem that you and I are dealing with has already been defeated. See? And he loves you and has proven it and has set himself in the middle of history, of the history of the world. Jesus is in the middle. So how can you skip him? How can you not mention him? How do you think you know God and you don't know Jesus? What made you think that you could get away with that? What makes you think you can not profess Jesus and tell people you know God? You know, the fact is, that is not possible. That's why Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father except through me. See, if you don't come through him, you cannot come in. You come as a thief and a robber. That's what Jesus said. He said, he who confesses me before men, I will also confess him before my Father who is in heaven. But if you deny me before men, I will deny you. So if you deny Jesus, then you have every opportunity to share Jesus, which is the will of God, it's the purpose of God, it's the desire of God, and it's the only thing that's right. And you talk about God, but you skip Jesus, baby, you got it wrong. That's what I want to say. You have it wrong. You have missed giving allegiance to Jesus, the perfect king who God has prepared and set him right in your time. You can't deny it. Wall Street's clock is ticking off the birth of Jesus. Have you thought about it that way? Tombstones are being chiseled off the birth of Jesus. Person was born here, dash, and they died here. See, and that's based on the birth of Jesus. Stocks are being sold and the real estate and all kinds of things based on the birth of Jesus. But you got people who want to talk about God, but we skip Jesus. We don't have much to say about him. Nothing. In fact, you didn't hear a word about him in the entire whole American political process. So think about that. That's what I want you to think about. That's what God wants you to think about. He loves Jesus, and he will only save those who acknowledge his son. More verses on that. The scripture is filled with it. So I want you to understand this. Now, this is what Paul writes in the New Testament in 1 Timothy chapter 1. Our time is slipping out on me here. I'm almost got to finish this up here. Yeah, he says, I thank Christ, 1 Timothy 1:12, our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Now, he was a Christ rejecter before he got saved, the Apostle Paul. He was known as Saul of Tarsus. We talked about that in last week's lesson. Who was before a blasphemer. Here's Paul confessing his sin. And a persecutor and injurious. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly and in unbelief. You know what? If you've been ignorant and unbelief about Christ, stop it now. You can be like Paul and get turned around and God will forgive you. He doesn't care how long you've been doing what you're doing. Just stop it down. Trust Christ. Receive his grace. Receive his mercy. He will forgive you. Just like he did Paul. He's a perfect example. 1 Timothy 1:14. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. You say, hey, you don't ever forget to remember Jesus, because you don't know God if you don't know Jesus. Got to let you know. And then he goes on to say that, howbeit, he says that, let me read that 15 again. This is a faithful saying worth all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That's all of us, folks. Of whom I am chief. Here's Paul, says he's the chief of sinners that wrote the majority of the New Testament, at least half. Let's put it that way, 13 books in the New Testament. Howbeit, for this cause, I obtain mercy. You know what? If you stop doing what you're doing, trust Christ right now, God's mercy is available for you. It's new every day. That's what it says in Lamentations. God's mercy is new every day. I'm so thankful for that. I need it every day. I don't know about you. Maybe y'all walk a little better than me. You probably do. I'm not going to try to deal with that. But I need new mercy every morning. See? And I need some in the evening. But God says my mercy is new every day. Paul is highlighting that here as he talks about his own conversion. Verse 16, he says here, howbeit, for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. See that? Everybody who believes on him can look at the pattern that Apostle Paul, who hated the church, he hated Jesus, he said he knew God, but he really didn't at all. You see? And if you think you know God and you don't know Jesus, baby, let me wake you up right now. You need Jesus. You cannot make it to God without Jesus. And that's the fact. That's the biblical fact. So he says, now to the King, speaking of Jesus, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, to him be glory, honor, and glory forever and ever. Amen. So the Old Testament reveals that even after God separated Israel from out of the Gentiles to be a people for his own possession, that they themselves chose to reject his authority and request a king of their own choice, just as the Gentiles had done before. See, people have always wanted someone else, an earthly person, to run them, and God always wanted to be in your life as your king. But he had already planned a way, and we're going to talk about that Wednesday. If you can make it back, we'll see you on Wednesday, or time's about up this morning. But man has always wanted an earthly king, and every one of them has been defective. None of them has ruled perfectly and reigned perfectly. They have all been defective. That's why their kingdoms rise, and then they fall, and then another one rises, another one falls. Another one rises, and another one falls. You know, as many as rise, guess what? They fall. And the only one that will not fall is the kingdom of the perfect king, Jesus, the perfect king, the Christ. His kingdom will never fail. He will never fail you. He will never let you down. He said, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. And the scripture says, unto as many as receive him, to them he gives the authority or the right to be called the children of God, even those that believe on his name. Just trust him right now. I'm going to lead you in a word of prayer. Time always flies more quickly than I hope. But I love you guys, love all of you. Even if you've just tuned in today, I want to admonish you today. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. He will accept you right now if you simply put your trust in him and believe that God has raised you from the dead. The promise from the greatest King is you shall be saved. Let's pray. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, we bless your name. Father, some of us have just now understood the gospel, and we didn't realize it's offensive not to mention Jesus. And we see so many in the culture, people in high status who talk about God, but they don't mention your son. And so, Father, we offer up a confession on their behalf, Lord, that you would not strike them in your judgment, Father, but that it does identify for us the people who really know you versus people who talk about God. There's so many of them all around the world. But, Father, we want to acknowledge your son, because we know that when we honor the son, we honor the father. And you said that it was your will and your good pleasure that as many as honor the Son would, you cannot honor the Father unless you honor the Son whom he has sent. And so help people understand that today, Lord God. Receive the ones right now who are praying that want to be saved. They have heard the message of the good news that you love us just like we are. And they want to be in your kingdom. They want to know that you're saved. Fill them right now, Lord God, with your Holy Spirit. Bless everybody who is confused about this, Lord God. Help this message just go viral, Lord, around the world so that people will hear the gospel and understand that you are not pleased. And when your Son is left out, you are not pleased. As so clearly it states in your word, no matter how high profile an individual might be, the lack of Jesus in their thoughts and their speaking is a fact that they have denied him. And so, Father, we accept him. We love him. We give him praise. We know that it is your good pleasure to give us your Son, the perfect high priest, who is also the perfect king. And so, Father, we give praise to Jesus right now. We know that when we exalt Jesus, that you are satisfied. Father, bless somebody today to understand the resurrection from the dead is the proof that he is your perfect king and the Savior of the world, no one else. We give you the honor today, God, the praise and the glory. We ask blessings and grace on every person under the sound of my voice. And, Father, guide us through these troubling times that we're going through. Help, Lord God, because we know the enemy comes against homes and marriages and families, and he's doing a lot of heinous things right now in this world. But, Father, we know you have all power and can do anything but fail. So we give you all the honor, the praise, and the glory. We pray your protection on people who are suffering and going through everything right now, Lord, that's coming in this difficult season that we are enduring. But we thank you for your guidance. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your peace. Thank you for every good and perfect gift that you keep sending down from above, because you are the Father of lights in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. We give you the praise, and we thank you for the blessings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. We hope you have gotten saved, and we look forward to being with you again in the coming week. And if the Lord tarries, the next event on this calendar is his return. Amen. So we want to be ready for that. And I just want to thank God for you right now and pray that you have been saved. If you have any comments or questions, send them in. We're making some preparations to be able to get to you in more profound ways in the coming days, and I pray for our progress in that regard. So God bless you. Have a blessed rest of your Lord's day, and may God richly bless you and keep you. Amen.